Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
How you doing?
Hello.
Oh my goodness, we are at another episode of Chefology. Isn't that amazing?
Amazing.
It's so good. We are, as I said a couple of weeks ago, we're in the double digits. We are on episode 14.
14.
Oh, 14. That's 2 sevens equals 14.
That's fast math.
Yeah, it's really, I know.
Oh my God. Too much math.
Yeah, and I only got an OP10, unfortunately. But with that,
I don't even know what that
means. Well, my name is Josh DeVetta. We have the effervescent Asabi Goodman.
Oh, bubbly. Thank
and
you.
Our brand new addition to the podcast. Please welcome back Gracie Mack. We have been really pumping Grace's tires the last couple of weeks. Yeah. Really, really, really encouraged. We want her to stay. It's like, how are you feeling? Do you need Cheetos?
Yeah.
Would you like some more water?
Well,
the sparkling water on tap? Really, really exciting. We're in a brand new studio as well, so the vibe is definitely pumping up in here tonight. Now, this week's episode, I am so damn excited. I posted a little teaser on our Facebook and Instagram pages. When I say teaser, it was a dead giveaway of who we're talking about.
I hope so.
Yes, absolutely. But before we officially go into the playlist, I have a little intro that I've written to really paint the picture of what we're talking about tonight.
All right, everybody, beautiful. Settle in.
All right, so if you could please indulge me for a moment. I might actually get emotional. But anyway, I'll get started. 2008, the world was ready for a new pop star. The radio waves were first graced with the smash hit Just Dance, a song of a generation that just wanted to party and the nightclub becoming their sacred place to find identity. Her first album, The Fame, spawned 2 number one hits and 5 worldwide hits that led to an incredible career-defining VMA's Video Music Awards performance in 2009. Brackets, we'll talk about that later. End bracket. She held the torch and was the gatekeeper of the next sound leading into a new decade with her re-release and game-changing EP, The Fame Monster, spawning more iconic hits that solidified one thing. Lady Gaga is here to stay. With early onset career comparisons to Madonna, Gaga went from strength to strength with her next album, Born This Way, and was doing something that other pop stars weren't quite hitting the mark with. She was making pop music exciting. From her music video narratives to her red carpet appearance looks, her meat dress being one example, to having heavy rumors of her being born hermaphrodite and just running along with it. Lady Gaga was so clever on how to shock the world, almost to the sacrifice of displaying how talented she is. She then went on to release Art Pop, Cheek to Cheek, and Joanne, a display of her jazz chops, and versatility into country rock music. Gaga was out to prove she can do anything, and when she had her first feature film, 2018's A Star Is Born, alongside Bradley Cooper, she finally achieved a lifelong goal of hers, to be an Oscar-worthy actress, which led to her hit song, Shallow, winning every award show accolade, Grammy, Oscar, Golden Globe, everything. Cut to 2020, Gaga has come back again with her number one album, Chromatica, an advocate for genuine mental health discussions and someone who at the end of the day just wants to be a good person who creates good music. Lady Gaga, your career trajectory of highs and lows is a legacy most humans only have an embryo to dream of, and you have risen from the ashes many times to prove time and time again there is no one like you. I am beyond excited to be talking about your music with my colleagues tonight. I'm honored to be dancing on the dance floor that you fought for. Quote from Chromatica. Thank you for your music and your never-ending mandate to see people live freely as themselves. You mean so much to many. That's my intro for,
oh, for her. That yes. deserves applause.
Oh, does it? Oh.
Because you know she lives for it.
Yes, she does. Oh, I'm so proud of that reference. Thank you. So we are talking about the, you know, one of the many queens of pop, one of the biggest pop stars of the last decade, arguably. We'll be talking about Lady Gaga, Stephanie Germanotta from New York City, Italian American born.
And you know, I was thinking about it today. She's literally only been in our lives, like as a big part of our lives, for maybe just over 10 years.
Yeah, exactly.
And she's she's made such a huge mark. Mm-hmm. Huge mark on us.
Really big mark, huge impact, and also a real advocate for the LGBTQIA plus community as well. That was, I would call them like our community, the original fans almost, because there was not really much representation happening where people were openly advocated. We've had other pop stars in the past, obviously, like Madonna and Mariah Carey. I was trying not to mention Mariah and it happened.
We knew it was going to.
We got like 10 minutes in.
Exactly.
It's all good.
So if you happen to just love Lady Gaga as much as Josh does, and nearly as much as Asabi and Grace,
who?
Then keep on listening.
Hey ladies, come listen with me, Mixie Plum, as wonderful women I know, or even just met, share their soulful stories and experiences for them and us to all learn and heal together. But in my own Riot Girl kind of way, you know, explicitly, confidently, and loud. We all want to speak, we all want to be heard, we all want to be understood. Roar more with me and open your lady mouth. Disclaimer, lady mouth is also for dudes too.
That's Not Canon Productions podcast.
And welcome back. Well, if you didn't know, after that amazingly non-indulgent intro of Lady Gaga by myself, we are going to start adding these songs to the playlist, queuing it up. I know for a fact that you're going to be pressing shuffle in your cars, bopping along to this music. It's going to be a fun time for you. We're going to throw the mic over to Gracie Mack, and she's going to give us her first five choices to add to this playlist. Give it up for Gracie. That's not a joke.
Wow. We do love you, Grace.
Yes, we do. Yes, we sure do.
Hello. Now, my choices, I gotta say, I feel this is awful saying it because he just said the loveliest, like most heartfelt speech, but I'm not a big fan of Lady Gaga.
All right. No, which is fine because you have to have a different mix in the conversation as well. It can't just be fangirling.
So I decided, right. And she has, I mean, such a huge book of music. And so because I'm not a huge fan, I only know the big hits.
Mm-hmm.
That have been played so much. So I decided for my choices, I was going to go through each album and just pick my favorite one.
That's a great idea. I love that.
Yeah. So, and it also, you know, got me to know her albums better as the full album, not just the hits from them.
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So you'll be doing a tribute show.
That's right. So my first choice is A Poker Face.
What?
Yes.
Who's poking my face?
I can't believe
Poker. I don't even like it.
Okay, beautiful.
Get it.
Now this is from The Fame.
Yes, it is.
Yes, 2008 debut. And this was the second single release.
It is the second single, absolutely.
Yeah. And it's pumping. It's like, it's the same dancey, wonderful vibes as Just Dance, but a bit darker.
Yes.
A bit more synthy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which I love. Lots of synth. And femic vocals. It's great. It's a banger.
It is a banger.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Also great cover. So there was the Glee cover really pushed it as well.
I really liked that cover. It was
the piano moment.
Yeah. Idina Menzel. Ugh.
Yes, she's amazing. And also, before she was hugely colossal, she used to be because her first record label was Cherry Tree Records, and she had actually done a piano version of Poker Face on their little YouTube channel. And that's when that was actually one of the first videos where I watched her and went, okay, so she's actually talented. Like this is right. I don't think she's going to be a one-hit wonder. That was
I first was introduced to Lady Gaga through The Hills. Do you guys remember that?
Yes.
Where she was just this random person that someone on The Hills was dressing. Maybe Elsie was dressing.
Oh my God. Is that Heidi Montag, The Hills?
Yes.
Oh my God. And Spencer Pratt.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh my God. That is a mid-2000s dream right there.
Yeah.
I do not know.
She was
The
just
Hills.
Like in one of, one of her like random leather outfits as like a. Just a star that they were dressing, or just a pop star that they were dressing.
God,
but she didn't have a name to her yet. Yeah.
That's amazing.
That was when I first saw her.
Right. Well, Poker Face is a solid choice.
Poker Face is solid. And the main... I was reading about it on Gagapedia.
Yes, love this.
Fandom site. And the main idea of it kind of comes from the idea of bisexuality.
Yes.
It's kind of the main idea of the song of just, I suppose, I mean, for so many people that aren't allies, mm-hmm. and what are you doing if you're not? But anyway, some people like you to explain yourself to them.
Yes.
And this is her doing the song in a really great way. It topped the charts in 20 countries.
That's huge.
Including the US and Australia.
Hey.
I didn't write all 20 down. I was like, I don't have time for that.
It was
the world. The world.
It was a big song.
And it won a Grammy for Best Dance Recording.
It sure did.
It did. So that's my first choice.
Love that.
Hitting her on her next album.
Yes.
Is You and I.
Oh.
You and I, 2011,
yes.
From her Born This Way album. And this song, so she originally performed it at the very bougie event of Elton John's White Tie and Tiara Ball.
Oh, it sounds like a drag.
It's a drag.
Literally.
She performed it, I mean, at that private event, and someone put a dodgy version of it, of the video of the performance up on YouTube, and people loved it. And so she decided to include it on this album.
Oh, amazing.
It's very kind of old school rock vibes, very leaning towards where she was eventually going to go with Joanne.
Yes.
And it samples the We Will Rock You drums from Queen's 1977 song, We Will Rock You.
I love that song.
Oh, that makes sense.
That's a sample from the song.
Nice.
And just to cap off all of the old school rock vibe, she actually had Brian May, the guitarist from Queen, play on the song.
He does do the guitar solo. Yes,
She's really brought it together.
That's great.
And I believe this was where she debuted her alter ego male character.
That's right.
Yeah, Joe Calderone.
Joe
Calderone, and she performed this song as him at the MTV Awards of that year.
Yes, she did.
2011.
Yeah, 2011. That's right. There you go. That's my second choice.
Also, I will just add, this will be me all night, like just adding little side notes to everyone's notes.
Can I just?
She had also brought out this mermaid character.
Yes.
Where she would come. The mermaid in the wheelchair. And then she got a bit of shade from Bette Midler because. Yeah.
That's her bit, man.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
Is
yeah, that is Bette Midler, the mermaid part. That's hers. Exactly. So the mermaid thing kind of died in the ass really, really quickly.
Yeah.
And we didn't see much of her after Bette's tweets.
Salty.
If Bette comes for you,
exactly.
My third choice is from Art Pop.
Hey, controversial.
Controversial. And it's Jewels and Drugs.
Hey.
Nice.
Wish I could afford either of those right now. No, I'm right?
Well, I literally picked this from the title. I was like, that's a great title. Yeah. That's a bougie life.
Yeah, I've noticed from your other choice, because like last week you chose the Drugs Don't Work. And now you're like, Jewels and Drugs. I'm like,
it's making a theme.
Yeah. She had a life-altering event on the weekend.
Yeah. The parallels to this universe make sense now.
Now this, I would describe this, I wrote in my notes here, trashy trap pop. That's how I would describe this song.
Love that.
And it's featuring three feature rappers.
Oh, wow.
All the T's, T.I., Too Short, and Twista.
Twista's so talented, Twista, by the way. Amazing.
Yeah, his is by far the best. I don't really know why she had all three of them on it. And they take a verse each. Like, T.I. starts it off, Gaga does a thing, then Too Short does a verse, and then Twista ends it.
Right. Is it a really long song?
Yeah, it's fairly long.
It's fairly long, all right.
Yeah.
You've got all the time in the world, darling. Let's just put everyone on the song.
I don't know. I don't know why she did that. Because I think that Twista is the best verse on it, and that's all they kind of really needed. But maybe she just wanted a lot of different flavors on it. You know, it's her artistic right.
Yeah.
She can do what she wants.
I guess so. I mean, if it's her album, I'm just...
Yeah.
I guess so.
To judge all the features? Yeah.
So just to recap, we've done Poker Face. We've done
You and I.
We've done
Jewels and Drugs.
Yep. Gracie, what is your fourth choice?
My fourth choice is Diamond Heart.
Oh, from Joanne.
A 2016 album. So I skipped her fourth album. Sorry.
The jazz one.
Yeah. Tony Bennett.
I didn't consider that one a good option.
Oh, that would have been interesting as a jazz singer.
Yeah, to really break it down.
It's not good.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I mean, well, that's completely my opinion.
And it really is like, I would, you know, like when there's those well-known jazz songs, you don't, you almost call it the pop music of jazz. Like,
yeah.
I think that's what
it's
that album
totally
is.
It's totally pop jazz. Yeah. But, which you know, has an absolute place in the world. But I just, it's not with me. It's not in this heart, you know.
Yeah.
But it was so strange to me. I was like, Tony Bennett, what are you doing? Like, I know that you love your collabs, but this is a strange collab. It's not bad in terms of like their vocal chops and everything, like, and they harmonize fairly well together, but it's like just Gaga coming in, and I suppose like she likes to live her different characters, and this is one character.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's very like musical theater jazz.
Yes, yes.
Oh, not much flavor.
His band is amazing too. Like the instrumentation on the album.
The arrangements
is like,
are impeccable. Yeah, they always are with him.
Well, they first had a foray into it when he did a jazz collab, the Duets album, and she did the Ladies of Trant with her.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
that arrangement is really good.
Yeah.
With that.
I remember that, and I quite liked that, but then a whole album I thought was too much.
It was a lot. But I also know that because Art Pop, some people like to call it Art Flop because it was her least successful.
Mm.
It was because Born This Way was such a huge juggernaut record.
Yes.
And then Art Pop came out. It just wasn't quite hitting the mark with the audience at the time and things like that.
Right.
And so she was really hurting from it. And apparently, like, Tony Bennett kind of, like, re-encouraged her to,
do you know how that came about? Like, how did that start? How did that album come about?
Sure. Well, they were already friends. So, like, Bennett, like, after the Ladies of Trant collab, became, like, this stan of Lady Gaga. He was just so about her.
Uh-huh.
Called her, like, a Picasso of pop music.
Wow.
Yeah, like, was giving, like, very colourful language for her. And so when things weren't working out for her with her Art Pop era, we'll call it an era, she kind of like just hooked up with Tony Bennett, was just like, I just want to sing some music again, let's just put something together.
Yeah.
And so this album, whilst it's quite an obscure or I guess like a match that you wouldn't think would be made in heaven sort of thing.
Yeah.
That's a cheek to cheek reference, like heaven. I'm in heaven.
Features on the album.
Is that even a jazz song?
Yeah,
it's a standard.
They're all like, all of the ones on that album are just like
American
old
songbook.
Straight up and
sure.
Down.
And well, so with that, the music had inspired her to sing again because she didn't want to do it much anymore because she was so discouraged from that particular, from the Art Pop project. And so I think Cheek to Cheek, whilst it's like, as I said, there's not this match made in heaven, it was like this breath of fresh air for her because it reminded her that she actually can sing. That was her whole thing. Mm. And that she's not just a pop star. She wanted to prove that she can do more than just pop. I think that was her
thing. But she's definitely, just like your initial speech, she's definitely out to prove she can do anything.
Yeah, absolutely.
Was this after, because, you know, she did the tribute to Julie Andrews on the Oscars.
This is before the Julie Andrews.
So
the Julie Andrews one was like 6 months later.
Yes.
Yeah. And that really started revitalizing her image with the general public too, because you know, oh, she can sing Julie Andrews. Oh, she must be actually have some talent.
Like, well, a lot of people
actually,
a lot of people didn't like her Julie Andrews rendition.
Yes, I know.
A
lot of my musical theater friends didn't like it.
Mm.
Stephen Sondheim spoke out and said that it was soulless, or
and it lacked
feeling. Yes,
wow.
Julie Andrews loved it.
Yes, I know. Yeah. She loved it, and everybody else was like, "It's terrible! How could you do that? She's not Julie Andrews is still alive, you know." And Julie was like,
that.
"I thought it was great."
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Julie Andrews can't sing anymore, so someone's gonna do it for her.
Exactly. Yeah, but also, I think it was that thing of like, I think Gaga was really experimenting with her voice because I think she was really trying to do this legit. Like she was really changing her sound and it was getting more legit. It was very mixed and open vowel singing that she doesn't really do. It's all that pop thing that, you know, where you know, a lot of music teachers hate us for it.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of thing. But yeah, so I totally agree with your sentiment about it being such an odd pairing. But I think it was more about them too than it was about
anything else
else going on in the world.
Well, anyway, my choice isn't from that album.
Yeah, no, that's so funny. That's right. Okay, we're definitely going to be introduced a tangent soundbite every time Josh speaks.
It needs to be like Jeopardy. The actual song.
Bum, 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 bum.
We just need, like the Oscar playoff music.
Yes,
at some point.
Oh, that'd be sad.
But I kind of love that at the same time. Also, I can drown the soundbite, so I'll be doing it myself.
Yeah. we'll
Josh,
just do this.
Yeah.
And you'll be looking at us like, what? I'm not finished.
So is that four choices? Sorry, Grace.
Look, my song is Diamond Heart.
Yes.
Just want to reiterate it again. Diamond Heart. Yeah. Now this song, I can jump back in.
Yes.
It's from Joanne, her fifth album.
Where are you
as
going?
As we said, 2016. And I was reading on Gagapedia that it was suspected to be about her ex-fiancé, Taylor Kinney, because he gave her Oh, really? Yeah. Is that where he's from?
He plays Ian Somerhalder's brother. No, he plays another guy's brother. Anyway,
what's he from? What?
Vampire Diaries.
Oh, Vampire Diaries.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, right. I didn't know that. He gave her a heart-shaped diamond ring, an engagement ring. Oh. It was like literally a heart diamond. So that's where the suspicion that she wrote it about
him.
I bet
him not.
Yeah. Okay, my final choice.
I'm excited.
Are y'all ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Now, I love a powerhouse vocal pairing. Mm-hmm. I love it. And so I was very happy to include my last choice from Chromatica, her most recent album, Rain On Me.
Very good.
Featuring Ariana Grande.
Oh, I've never heard of her.
Which is good. Yeah, who is she?
She doesn't sound like she's popular. Yeah.
She changes her look.
Does she?
Well, let's just say that over the years she's gotten browner.
She's
gotten much browner.
But the ponytail has definitely gotten longer.
Yes, much longer ponytail. She's a Latinx now.
Yeah. Well, she's actually Italian. That's the funniest thing. She's not even Latino at all.
You know, she was on Disney shows and really pale and redhead.
Yeah,
she was on Nickelodeon on the show Glorious.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes, and she was actually on the original soundtrack for Jason Robert Brown's show 13, where it was where it featured
original.
She's like the popular girl trio or something like
that. Okay.
Her vocals feature a lot on Brand New You. She's the one that does all the riffing,
of course she does.
She's a bit of a vocal prodigy back in the day.
Absolutely. Well, this song did heaps for Ariana, and for both of them, but for Ariana it actually made her the first artist to have four songs debut at number one with this track.
Oh my goodness.
Wow, I did not know that.
And Gaga described the song as a celebration of tears.
Yes.
Aww. Which I thought was really beautiful. And it's about, the genesis of the song, Gaga said, and I quote, "I sat with her and we talked about our lives. It's two women having a conversation about how to keep going and how to be grateful for what you do."
Oh, isn't that great?
Nice. Beautiful.
And I like the two generations, like in the sense of there's Gaga, who's been like a star for like 12 years, and then like the current superstar of the world, kind of thing put together. They both sound really good. And also Ariana sings really differently on this record too, because usually she tries just to go for all the highest notes that she can hit.
Yeah.
Kind of, but I love that she's changed to a more breathy approach with her vocals.
Yep.
Very reminiscent of Mariah Carey. But just I like that it's also like that 90s dance clubhouse sort of.
Like
it's really anthemic.
House track.
When I first heard it, because I was literally in Sephora and then I saw on Spotify that it dropped, I popped my AirPods Pro in, and then pressed play, and I was like, I had to get back to the car and crank it. That was my instant reaction to it.
Yeah.
I must have needed a song like that for that day.
You must have. And the video clip is great. It's them walking in like, I think a stadium is it, or some like huge outdoor arena, and the rain is coming down, but the rain is knives. And they're just like strutting through the
rain. They're somewhere on planet Chromatica and they haven't left yet.
Oh my god.
Oh my goodness, Grace. Well, that's a really solid five choices to start off with.
Thank you.
I'm really sure great. All the Gaga fans out there are already excited to pop on this playlist, which is really, really cool.
Yeah.
I also like the fact that you went like through the albums as well.
Had
a bit of a smorgasbord. And I said this one before we were on the air, that there's a few like obscure choices too, which is good that it wasn't just all like the pop singles, which would probably be my choice.
Same.
Well, it's
just
like
the popular ones.
I would also like to say that it's definitely going through music school. I was taught to figure out what is the reason that you have a reaction to something. So not just I don't like it or I do like it. Like, what is it actually about it that isn't doing it for you musically, if you can figure out how to describe that. So going through her albums really helped me to understand her work way more.
Absolutely.
And
And you can absolutely understand someone's work is still going, you know, it's still not my cup of tea.
Yeah,
that's an okay response. And I think a lot of people that talk about music, because there's that stan culture, that stan meaning stalker fan.
Oh, right. Okay.
Like around for like 10 plus years, where if you like the artist, you have to love everything they do.
Yeah.
And sometimes they don't hit they don't hit the nail on the head for you. You're just like, you know what, this song wasn't really it, or that album wasn't really my thing.
And it's hard because people, I mean, we grow such intense emotional connections to these artists because we feel, you know, that they're speaking our soul. And so when you don't connect, it's very upsetting. People react really badly.
They do. Yeah.
Like with art pop, like they just react so badly.
Mm. It was like that general public verse. And also the fan bases will absolutely buy the albums no matter what.
They will.
It's trying to convince the general public who wouldn't traditionally like stalk Lady Gaga on Twitter sort of thing. You know, why is this album for them sort of thing. You know, and every artist has their, I call it their art pop era. So I think Katy Perry's still going through her art pop era
right
now.
Oh my goodness. Poor Katie.
Well, as I said, solid choices, Gracie. We're going to have a quick little break and we're going to come back and we're going to talk about Asabi's choices. Stay tuned.
I believe in love. Do you believe in love, Amy?
I do, Gina. I also really believe in helicopter dates, bottomless champagne, sparkly cocktail dresses, and big ass red roses.
Well, you'll be surprised to hear that we're obsessed with The Bachelor. We will be sharing that obsession with you and discussing all things Bachelor and Bachelorette.
We'll be talking about memorable moments, who we think Batchy will choose, and the lessons we learn along the way.
So, prepare your cheese board,
grab the wine,
and get overly emotionally attached with us, your hosts,
Amy Duro
and Gina Schwartz.
Love Batchely.
Two gals here for the right reasons.
That's Not Gunna Productions podcast.
And we're back. Welcome back, everyone. We are discussing all things Gaga.
Yes.
Gaga. The rah bitch.
I remember seeing her do an interview on Rove when that was a show.
Yes.
And he was like, you know, doing his fast questions, his jokes, doing his bits.
She was doing his bits.
Okay. She was not really on board, like with most of it, I would say.
He's not very funny.
Is
And yes. I remember
and
one
he goes,
of the,
if you were gonna be, he said something like, if you were a male, what would you call yourself? She's like, I would always be Lady Gaga.
Yes.
I love like, that answer. That's such a good answer. Yeah.
I can't believe he asked that question. That's a really terrible question. His questions were always problematic.
Like he used to do the whole, who would you turn gay for? Like, it's this thing that you turn gay for people.
Yeah.
And, like, any type of, like, joke that was, like, against, like, similar to Chris Lilley and, like, his racial stuff. But, like, you'd make something that was a little bit, like, you know, homo, like a homo kind of joke, and they'd go, nothing sus. Like, and that was because people used to laugh at gays all the time.
It's funny to be gay.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
Yeah, it's just the lowest common denominator.
Yes, exactly. And the lowest common denominator is absolutely Rove. Rove McManus.
And maybe that's why he's not around.
Possibly. Possibly.
Now, Asabi, save us from this Rove hole that I dug us.
All right. So, like Grace, I'm not a huge Gaga fan, but I do happen to sing backing vocals in a Lady Gaga tribute show.
Oh, we're going to have to hear some lots of stories about this girl.
Yes. So, the songs that I've chosen are basically some of the songs that we perform, because those are the ones that I know quite well. And I knew them before joining this tribute show. No, I didn't. I knew maybe one of them before. I'm lying. And when Josh and I were talking about this earlier, he pointed out that my songs were basically from very early Gaga. And that's it. They're from early Gaga. So they're from her first two and a half, because the Fame Monster was kind of a reimagining of the Fame. Right?
Yeah, every release,
It was like released 1 year later, was it?
Yes,
it was 1 year later.
So my first two songs are off the Fame album. Mm-hmm. The first one being Just Dance.
Oh, never heard that song in my life.
Right?
Red one.
Yeah, right. Gaga. No, I love that song. I It's just a really dancey song. And I was a club kid at uni.
Were you?
Oh, yeah.
Now, when you say club kid, do you mean you went to the nightclubs or you dressed up in costumes?
Oh, no, I didn't dress up in costume. I wasn't that kind of club kid.
I was imagining Sari walking with like 8 tentacles and the all-seeing eye.
Yes, that's right.
And fire coming out of your tits.
I have a little head named Venetia that might travel with me.
Or Anisha.
Yes, that's right. It's to stomp the runway. No, I wasn't that kind of club kid.
So you were just a party girl.
I was a party girl. Yeah. I studied, but you know, we'd party on the weekends.
Absolutely.
So the music on this album really brought me back to that place. Like it was everything that I used to listen to. You know, that hard hitting bass and the synth and it was amazing. It was like being back at the club again in the mid-90s.
Yes.
So some fun facts about this. Obviously, we talked earlier, this is her debut album. Mm-hmm. This was the first single and it was co-written by her and Akon and Red One.
That's the one.
And she wrote it in 10 minutes.
Oh, I believe
it. Crazy bitch. Yeah.
That's why at the beginning it's Red One, Convict, Gaga.
Gaga. Yep. Done. That's it. And it's literally about being drunk in the club, which mm-hmm. I have a lot of experience
in. Can attest to.
As I said, cry of a generation. Right.
Sold. It's one of the highest selling singles ever.
Mm-hmm.
So it sold over 10 million copies.
Insane.
But it took it 22 weeks to get to number one, though.
That's half a year, basically.
Yeah. So it was sitting on the charts for about 5 months before it finally made its way up to number one. And then it lost the Grammy to Daft Punk's Harder, Better, Faster, Stronger.
Kanye?
I don't know who's in that.
I don't think so. I think maybe just the original.
Yeah, Daft Punk.
Wait, the original back in the 90s?
No, in 2008.
So 2008, that would have been Kanye West's Stronger and that sample Daft Punk's Stronger. I'm pretty sure.
From the
graduation album. And we'll talk about that later.
We'll talk about that another week.
Semantics.
Anyway, but that was Daft Punk's song that was released in 2008.
Amazing. Yeah. Love that.
And she lost the Grammy to that song. But I liked what she said about this song. So there's a quote. I've got a quote from Ms. Mm-hmm, Gaga. Mm-hmm. And she said, "That record saved my life. I was in such a dark space in New York. I was so depressed, always in a bar. I got on a plane to LA to do my music and was given one shot to write the song that would change my life. And I did. I never went back. I left behind my boyfriend, my apartment. I still haven't been back. My mother went in and cleaned it for me."
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. So
it was a very Gone with the Wind rendition.
Wasn't it? Without the Southern accent.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Well, tomorrow's just another day. Exactly. So a lot of Gaga's songs, because I sing most of these songs, actually, I sing all of these songs. They do have high marks on Asabi's scale of singability.
Yes.
I didn't do the danceability scale, but they're all like, no, they're not all 10s. They're not all 10s. So I will do a danceability. So Just Dance is like 10 on the danceability scale.
I would hope so. Just danceability.
Mm-hmm. It's have my shirt get turned inside out, really, like that was my life.
Yes,
all the time. Walk of shame every morning, you know, just like, what's going on? I don't know what I was doing. So I live this song. So on the scale of singability, it's a 9, because I have performed this song with my covers band solo, and it's really hard to do without a backing singer, because there's at least 2 parts that are just going and going. And yes, and I have done it by myself. It's amazing.
And there's lots of layers going on too. So
it's layered.
Like, I always imagine, like, if you pulled, I remember saying this with my friends back when I was, I think I was 19, when the song, it's so insane. And like, if you listen to a Lady Gaga song, if you look at the Pro Tools session, you would see how many bloody layers there would be.
It's probably like 50.
Because there's so much going
on. So much. And you know, and you're doing it with a 5-piece band, meaning the singer is one and then you've got 4 instrumentalists, right?
Yeah.
And I remember when the guys first brought it to me, they were like, and I was like, guys, I don't know if I can, I don't know that I have the breath to sing all of this, because it's just, and it's, everything is, you know, right behind each other. But you learn to make it work, and you're just running through phrases.
There you go. So
it's crazy.
That's some advice for the industry out there. You just got to make it work.
Make it work. Phrases. Run the phrases. Breath control. Do it.
Or in my case, in my career, rely on the background singers always.
Well, if you don't have background singers.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. I won't have enough breath to even to riff some text.
Yeah, just be like, dance.
I love that. Mm-hmm. And so besides the, I guess, the semantics of it all, is there any other reason why you like the song?
Well, I do like that little bit that's in the bridge. Do you know that part that I'm talking about?
Oh, the echoes?
Yes, the echoes. You know?
How does it go, Asabi?
Half psychotic, sick hypnotic. It's got my blueprint. Oh, it's symphonic. Half psychotic,
sick hypnotic.
Got my blueprint. Electronic.
Yes. Go, move your
hustle. Go, get out, babe. Whatever. Yeah,
oh, yeah. Move your muscle, come and work it, hustle.
I got it. Just stick close enough to get it.
Go slow. Yes.
Drive it, bleed it, lights out, clean it, spin the lasso in your pocket.
Yes.
Right? Love that song. Oh, love it.
Mm. Amazing.
I know what we're doing when this air finishes.
Right?
I'm playing this playlist.
We're going to play this. Yes. Yeah, we're going to have a little Lady Gaga sing.
Oh, my God. Well, Sabi, that is a solid choice. I'm not supposed to be interviewing you, and I just took over. So, Grace,
he's
you go.
He's excited, guys.
Yeah, this Gaga is life, you know? You know, like in Dracula, the blood is the life. Gaga is the life. That's just how it is. Yep.
Now, Asabi.
Yes, ma'am.
That's a killer first choice. We spent a long time on that because we were like, yes. What's your second one?
My second one is Love Game. Play a love game. Do you want
to?
I love it because this song, again, this song has special meaning for me as well. This song is all about going up to that person in the club going, I want you.
Exactly. Let's have some fun. This beat is sick. I want to take a ride on your disco stick. Don't think too much.
Just thrust that. I want to take a ride on your disco stick. Yes.
Let's play it. And you know what I love about the intro of that, besides the spoken word,
yes,
is that it comes in on the four and.
Yes, it does. Yeah, which it does.
It's so cool.
And it's such a pain in the butt to sing this song to a track that doesn't line it up properly.
Oh, that would be hell.
Yeah.
They have it come in on the one and then they change the beat. And I'm like, who made this track? Yeah, no, we've gone through we've like made our own tracks because
to simplify it a little bit. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and I'm like, that's not how the real song goes.
Yeah.
Anyway, Love Game from Great the song. Fame, 2008. I have been there in the club going, I want him. Yes. And you just walk up like,
Yes. And you can imagine how this song went in the gay clubs as well.
Oh, yes, darling. Girl.
Disco sticks all over the place,
all over the place. Yes. I think one of the guys I went up to might have been gay, actually. Oh. He was way too hot for me.
Oh, no, don't say that.
Come on.
Oh, he was hot. Oh,
yes.
Anyway, that's a whole nother podcast, y'all.
She looks really, really good in this video, too, by the way. It's when she introduced she used to rock the rim of the bang wig.
Yes.
But then she put purple bits in it.
Mm-hmm.
Game changer. Game changer.
Oh, Love Game.
Dancing on the subway.
Yep. So, love the hook, love the driving rhythm, the innuendo, all through this song. Yes. It was my life. I was just like, yes, living Lady Gaga, sing it. So, this was the third track released from The Fame.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it was her third number one.
Yes.
God, there's so many bangers on that album.
Oh, it was so good. And she just, you know, and the video. So one of the fun facts that I took from this, the video was banned from being aired during the Australian PG time slot. And I didn't know there was a PG time slot in Australia.
What was it banned for? It's not that.
Just because it was because of the sexual nature of it.
Also, at the end, in the end choreography, they do grab their genitalia at the end. Yeah. That might have been too much for PG as well.
Yeah. In 2008, knowing what we all see on television, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, again, this woman, she kills me. It was written in 4 minutes, apparently. I don't know, and she said that she literally, it was exactly as she wrote. That's exactly what happened. She went up to some dude in the club and was like, I want to ride your disco stick.
Amazing.
And then, went home and was like, God, that's great, and wrote it.
Amazing. I love that. Good.
She writes really fast. I don't even know that I could write like that, even if I had it all in my head.
Well, I think also like when you're writing, I guess like it's that thing like, well, she probably wrote the first draft in 4 minutes.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
I'm sure
yeah,
it evolved from
so
somewhere.
Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah. I know that she wouldn't have like written all the music and yeah. everything. No.
She's rocks up. She's like, so I wrote this song. I don't know if you like it. Play. I produced this.
As I was walking out the club, just as I got to the entrance, here you go, new song. Have a listen. But yeah, no, on a Savvy scale of singability, this is a 9.
Oh, good. Oh,
yes.
Wait, hold up. The audience are getting better.
Yeah, and a 10 plus on the dance ability, because, I mean, you just can't, like...
Oh, exactly, oh, yes.
Yeah. Yes, oh, boom, so dancey.
Sorry.
Lady Gaga just, she makes me feel dirty. I love it. So those are my first two choices.
They're solid.
My third choice, if I can get this to work... is Telephone featuring Beyonce.
This is
Queen
a good
babe.
One. Here we go. I don't know.
It's not a joke.
I know, but I feel like the drum sounds so happy and I'm just over applauding all the time.
You're like, yes. Maybe we should get like a rattle,
a
like
drum
a
roll.
Drum
yes.
roll. Yeah.
Okay, good one. Okay.
And then drum roll. Simple right. crash.
I'll talk to the producer.
Okay. Yeah. Producer.
Put a word in.
So this one is off the Fame Monster, mm-hmm. which is the reissue of the Fame in 2009 when she did this one. Now, this song, it's just pumpy. It's pumpy. It's poppy. It is pumpy. It's pumping. It's fun. I love the little, like, you know, you can hear the operator, like, the number you have reached, kid. You know,
yes, at the
so
end,
love all of that and everything that's in there. I love Beyonce's breakdown in the middle.
It's great.
It's good.
Because,
yeah. Well, the brain broken up my phone won't make me lead no faster.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I love it. And now this song was originally written for Britney Spears.
It sure was.
Was it?
Yep.
No.
And she laid down a demo.
Mm-hmm.
And I listened to the demo. It basically
sorry.
I know, right? It sounds pretty much the same, except Britney's voice was heavily auto-tuned.
Yes.
Which
her
is,
voice is so different. I don't think she could deliver on this song.
I think if Gaga had not released it and Britney had, it would have been fine. I think.
But
that's because we wouldn't
know. Would Beyonce
know.
Have been on it as well?
No, probably not. It probably would have been somebody else.
Mm. Well, that club happened because Beyonce asked Gaga to be on her song Video Phone.
Yes, that's
and
right.
And Gaga recorded a verse and then said, well, I'm doing a song called Telephone. Do you want to?
Yeah, exactly. So, and they came out around the same time. So you have Video Phone and you had Telephone. Yeah. Yep. Now, that's really all the facts that I have about this.
Oh. Well,
I didn't grab anything else. Josh, would you like to help me out?
I can definitely help out with that. So a couple of things.
I think I got a phone call. I don't know what happened.
So you're going to dial it in? Okay. So,
Dialing it in.
Find a friend. Over to Josh.
Call a friend, yeah.
Well, firstly, it's one of her most viewed videos in her music video history.
Oh, wow.
It was the whole thing where it was like this Kill Bill sort of themed
situation. Yeah, it was very Tarantino-esque.
Yeah, very Tarantino-esque. Like /blaxploitation/ it was really, really interesting because the whole it was actually the continuation of Paparazzi.
That's right.
Which we might talk about soon. So anyway, so basically she's in jail and Beyonce gets her out on bail.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Yes.
And they go to a diner and they kill somebody. They kill people.
Yeah.
And they kill the entire diner, actually.
Yeah,
by poisoning.
Poison,
they use rat poison in the pancakes, et cetera, et cetera. Mm,
that's what we do every day.
Yes. I remember. So also it was nominated for Video of the Year with the VMAs. Also, Gaga was nominated for another video, which I'll talk about later. And she's the first person to ever have two videos in the same Video of the Year category.
See, now the VMAs... Yeah.
Yes.
It's just, anyway.
Yes. It has its it has its controversies because it hasn't been about the music for a very, very long time. Yes, right? I
don't know that it ever, well, maybe the very, very beginning.
Yeah, but when, it's the Video Music Awards. So if it's all about like how well it's shot, like what concept it is, or that how popular it was on YouTube, things like that. Also with Telephone, it's like, the whole point of Telephone, it's been because it's part of the Fame Monster. This was exploring the dark parts of fame that Gaga was obsessed with.
Yes.
So Telephone's all about rumors and like, I don't want to hear from you anymore. Mm-hmm. What all these people are talking, all this shite. Like, mm-hmm. I just want to hang up the phone and not talk again. Like, that's one abstract, I guess, sort of thing. And yeah, but the biggest part of it was that she was collaborating with Beyonce. Beyonce had just killed the year prior with Single Ladies. Like, there was no bigger song at that point.
I remember
so
that.
The whole collaboration that was like this new Gaga artist collaborating with Beyonce.
Yeah.
Could it be a joining of the Illuminati? Who knows?
Yeah, that's true, because there was a lot of that talk. Like, there's still a lot of Illuminati talk around Beyonce and Jay-Z. Because, you know, they can't just have that much talent.
Yeah. you can't be brown, black, and successful.
That's right. Like, how do you still have money? How come you're not spending it on boats and TVs? It must be the Illuminati.
It must be the Illuminati. Exactly. So Telephone is it was a big pop culture moment.
Yep.
And also so much product placement in that music video too. There's like, I think there's something like 27 products or something like that. Yeah.
You know, and I didn't think about the significance of it because Lady Gaga was new.
Yeah, exactly.
She was very, very new, and I feel like she's been in my life all of my life, you know.
Yeah.
She's only like 30 or something. And
34.
Yeah, whatever. Still, she's a mere infant.
Yes,
and
she is.
You know, she's by this time, it felt like she had always been around.
Yes.
Because I was shocked when I saw that this was 2009. I was thinking, oh, maybe it was, 2015. But it was right at the beginning of her stardom.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So, just killing it. Just amazing. So now, on the scale of singability, this gets a 9.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
And on the scale of danceability, I'm going to give it an 8. Because I don't feel... I mostly sing the song. I don't really dance to it. I don't feel it's very dancey for me.
You're not dropping your cookies to it.
Nah. No. I'm not. No, there's no panty dropping. There's maybe, you might drop. No, I don't even drop it like it's hot. Nothing gets dropped in this. Yeah.
It's I just, keep everything up.
Yeah, everything stays upright and lifted. Yeah, including my face. So Telephone featuring Miss Queen Bey. That
Miss
is
Queen Bey.
My third choice.
These are great choices. We've had Just Dance.
We've had Love Game.
Disco and Stick. Telephone.
And Telephone. Yeah.
What's your fourth?
My fourth one is Judas.
Oh.
Judas. Yeah. Judas.
Yes.
Yes, right? So this is on the Born This Way album from 2011.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And what I was reading was that the song is kind of, so aside from the biblical references, so you think.
The incorrect biblical references
okay,
in the video.
Whatever. Yeah. I'm not religious.
What do you mean, incorrect?
I don't know.
They're not right. So,
explain.
Well, they talk about how they talk about how you'll deny me 3 times. It wasn't Judas; that was Peter that denied Jesus 3 times.
Oh, they're just kind of mixing.
Yeah, so they mix it up. Yeah,
because
I grew up Christian, I was like, this is not correct.
But the thing is, it's not supposed to really be biblical, right?
No.
So it's a metaphor for betrayal and forgiveness.
Yes.
It's about a woman who allows a man to continually betray her, and she keeps going back.
Mm.
That's basically what it's about. But then it has this sort of religious spin on it, a fake religious spin, I'll say, because it's not really religious.
Mm.
But I think that, I love the way the pre-chorus,
Yes, cool.
I just
bring him down. Yeah.
I enjoy singing the song. So I sing backing vocals for this song, but I really enjoy it. I feel it's a very powerhouse sort of song. Lots of belting, and it's just a very strong song.
It
was the second single released from Born This Way.
Yes, it was.
And the artwork on the single cracks me up. So Gaga designed this stuff on Microsoft Word. I'm like, work,
right?
Work, Gaga. Just like, and if you look at it, it looks like it, like a kid just went, okay, just take this font and just draw that line and draw that line. Boom, done. That's it. Judas. Yeah. So, and actually, again,
now that I think about that, it totally does look like it's on
Microsoft. Right? Yeah. It's just like, because I hadn't seen it. And so when I looked at it, I was like, oh, yeah, that's good. Good on her.
Good for you.
Good on you. Good on you. And now there were some plagiarism allegations.
Yes, there was.
Put against this song for by Rebecca Francescotti. I can't say her name. And they were dismissed because I think the bass player that worked with Rebecca also worked with Gaga.
Right.
And okay. So she said, oh, there, she had a song called Judah. And so felt that there were some references musically to her song. But it was thrown out because they said there, like, the differences in the, or the similarities and the differences in the song more than outweighed the similarities of
sure.
the song.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like there might have been like one or two very minor similarities, but otherwise the songs were completely different. And
so Gaga's lawyers were better than the other girls'
pretty
lawyers.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, Gaga had way more money.
Yes, yep. Exactly right.
In the 3 years that she, you know, reached stardom, yeah, way more money. Way more.
Also, there was also another, there was going to be another plagiarism claim made because the same producer that worked on that song was working on a song with J-Lo, and there's one song that has the similar boom, boom, wah, boom, wah, 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 wah.
Yeah.
Same bass riff, yeah.
Right,
interesting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
And what is your fifth and final?
My fifth and final song is I'm Gonna Marry the Night.
Yes!
I won't give up on this fight. Yeah, so Marry the Night.
Tell the story, girl. Yes.
All I remember.
The story's done.
It's done. The story ended.
Yes.
So again, off the Born This Way album.
Yes.
I sing backing on this song. And what I love about singing this song is that you can create just really fun harmonies with the verses. So, you know, when the lead singer is singing, I will just harmonize and sing whatever the hell I want.
Because you can.
Because I can, yes. And because, you know, they're not about to go and stop me. No. but it's just, you know, it's a fun song. And then the bridge, I'm gonna marry
yes.
the night. Bye. Yeah, it's like a power ballad, you know, and it's fun belting out that chorus, and you really like, you feel like you're just living for the nighttime. And that's
absolutely.
What that song is about. It's just about being free and just being out. And, you know, because she was a party girl. She was a huge
yeah.
party girl
yeah.
in New York City, and just running around and living your life and having a great time. I've been there. I know exactly what that feels like. And I just really, if I had a cordless mic while I was on stage, I'd be spinning.
Nice.
But it's, I think I do have a cordless mic. I should
spin. Yeah, absolutely.
But no, I do. I love this song. It was the fifth and final single released from the Born This Way album. And they released it as a promotion on Farmville.
Did they?
What?
They did. Yeah. Do you remember Farmville?
I do remember. Yeah, the Farmville game.
Little cheeky game on your phone or whatever. Yeah. I never played it, but I do remember it. Yeah.
Do you reckon the beginning, like, it has the same reminiscence of What a Feeling by Irene Cara? Like, that whole, like, opening, like, slow beginning that goes into, like, the dance. I'm going mad. Yeah, yeah. Has a similar vibe to me. And I think abstractly, I think it was also about embracing the darkness as
it
well.
It is,
yeah,
the darkness of night.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I feel that they're two very different songs.
Yes.
Yeah,
I'm talking about the vibe though, like the 80, like has that 80s synths and things like that.
No, I don't, maybe from a musical standpoint, but I don't get the same vibes.
You don't feel like dancing in a leotard?
No, the Irene Cara song for me gives me more a feeling of hope.
That does it. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So
it evokes a different feeling.
It evokes a completely different feeling. Mm. But no, still great songs. But no, Marry the Night, I do love that song. So this song, here we go, about her quick writing skills.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually recorded on the bus during the Monster Ball tour.
Yes,
that's
yeah, I remember
when
that,
they
yeah.
recorded right. the demo, right? Just like, let's write this song. Yay. And it only peaked at number 29 on
yeah.
the Hot 100, and it basically ended her top 10 streak, her streak of top 10. So I think she had
yes.
11 top 10 hits.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is just 2011. So it's only
yeah.
been 3 years and she's had you know, 11 top 10 hits in three years.
I think also because that song, the music video was autobiographical, so it was telling her story of how she became famous. But then a lot of people just like, you've been around for 3 years, like, why are we getting so retrospective kind of thing. But like, because I think it was more for the fans, they wanted to know her story kind of thing. But then the general public were like, girl, like, you're not Madonna.
This is my story. So I do have a Lady Gaga story. So before 2008, before she hit it big, this is probably, it might have been 2006 or 2007. I had friends that used to follow her around San Francisco.
Really?
And
oh, that's cool.
Well, actually, you know, it could have been 2008. It could have been 2008. Right before she released her tunes, and they knew about her.
Right.
And she was in San Francisco, and so she was club hopping, and they just followed her around, and, you know, she took photos with them, and they were hanging out, and I remember seeing these photos. I'm like, who is this person? Because I had just moved here, and I knew these people, and I was like, I can't remember. I don't know. She might have been wearing a wig.
Okay.
She did dress up. And I remember seeing them, and I was like, who is this woman that they keep running around with? Because I knew all of our friends, you know, and I was like, I don't know who that is. But it was Lady Gaga.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Yeah. Another sobby story.
Lady Gaga.
Yeah. And the first time I saw her, I thought she was Christina Aguilera.
Oh, well, that's a whole
don't
touchy
hate
subject.
Me. Yeah. Yeah. I saw her on, I quickly realized, because I think I had Ellen on, right? So she was on the Ellen show. And she was brand new, and, you know, like, oh, we've got this new singer. And that's, I was so probably running around cleaning or doing something obscure, so I just had it on in the background, and I remember looking over and I was like, oh, Christina's changed her look. And then as I watched her sing, I was like, that's not Christina.
That's not
who is that, you know? And then they announced,
she's sticking
Lady
to the melody.
Gaga.
It can't be Christina Aguilera.
Yeah, I know. She seems talented. No, I'm kidding. I love Christina. Christina is talented.
She is.
So now, on the scale of singability, Mary the Knight is an 8.
Nice.
And on the scale of danceability, for me, it's not really a dancey song. I might give it a 7.
Right.
Yeah, I might give it a 7.
Okay, that's still a high score.
Yeah, it's still a high score.
That's still 70%.
Yeah, I mean, you can dance. You can dance to it, but I mean, it's not like Just Dance where you just kind of lose yourself.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it is still a great song. So those are my
They were great choices. Songs. Thank you so
Thank
much.
Thank you. Yeah.
Now, listeners, we will be right back with Josh's choices.
Yes, yes.
How boring.
Hey there, guys, gals, and non-binary pals. It's Matt Young, and I want you to listen to the Story Chunder podcast. It's based on the live event where Brisbane storytellers tell true and sometimes embarrassing stories from their lives for the delight and approval of a live audience. So listen in to the Story Chunder podcast. I'll see you at the Chunder.
And we are back. You are listening to Shuffology. My name is Asabi Goodman, and I'm here with our wonderful Shuffologist Josh Tavetta and Gracie Mack.
Hello.
Hello.
Today we are talking all things Gaga, the fame monster herself.
All we need is Radio Gaga.
What?
They knew it.
Yes.
Yeah. So now we've heard Gracie Mack's choices, and we've heard my choices, and now we are coming to the wonderful Josh Tavetta.
Yay.
Would you please tell us your Gaga choices?
I can. And also, that's the Radio Gaga is the reason why she got the stage name Lady Gaga too.
Is it?
They used to call her Gaga because she was so loopy.
Well, okay. Yeah.
That sort of thing. Anyway, so to continue on from my little speech that I made at the beginning of the podcast.
So beautiful.
I'm going to go, thank you very much. I'm going to go chronological just so I can talk about the pop cultural stuff as well.
Sure.
So we've talked a lot about the fame. I've got a choice from the fame. First song, Paparazzi. Mm-hmm. Now, this was her first foray into exposing her obsession with fame. That was the whole. Mm. So this song was inspired by Princess Diana's death. But said an interview like, literally, she died because of fame. She died because she's famous.
Yeah, she did.
Sort of thing. And so in the music video as well, she the opening scene, she's having this love scene with Alexander Skarsgård. I mean, what a...
I mean, who wouldn't?
Know, exactly.
Tragic life.
And anyway, and then they're out on the balcony making, oh, you know, kissing sort of thing. And then there's like these, you hear these camera shots, and then the Alexander Skarsgård's character says, you know, keep on kissing me, like he's trying to like pose
entice
for the paparazzi,
yeah,
sort
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah.
And then she allegedly falls off the balcony, and that's when we spiral into this whole, I guess, the plot for the video sort
wow.
of thing.
Now, does the video, because I haven't seen it, does it, which, and this would be amazing, does the entire thing take place while she's falling and she just sings it while she's falling, and then the end, it ends and she's dead?
The beginning of it, she's falling, but you know the old conspiracy theory, like where's the black and white spiral that keeps on spinning?
Oh, yeah,
that's
yeah,
what
yeah,
it has
yeah,
behind
yeah.
her.
Okay.
So I found that very, very interesting. So with that, with this song, so this, the chorus goes, I'm your biggest fan, I'm gonna follow you until you love me, paparazzi. So it's
mm-hmm.
about
yeah.
being famous, but asking the paparazzi to make you even
more
famous.
Yeah.
Because but that's what made you famous back then, was getting, yeah. you know, on the tabloids.
Yeah.
So it was a
yeah.
real, like, it was a real I guess explanation of what was going on in fame culture at the time.
Mm-hmm.
With you know, it was about, you know, yes, these people are obsessed with me, but I can also flip it around and
yeah.
be obsessed with them enough yeah. so that they make me even more famous than what I am.
Mm.
Or is it a choice? That's all these questions
yeah.
that we're asking already.
Theoretical, get to it.
It's really, and so with the song, she also has a beautiful piano version of this as well, which is why I think you can hear the lyrics more, just like with most acoustic versions.
Yeah,
So in 2009, she did a performance at the MTV Music Video Awards to this song, and it was and at the end, she basically dies and she starts bleeding because someone shot her, basically.
Right. Okay.
And then she hangs at the end, and it was this real career-defining performance for her because the whole world was kind of like, ooh, like, who is this? This woman in a white leotard bleeding from everywhere.
Wait, what year was this?
2009. Yeah, so okay. this is the famous Kanye West interrupting Taylor Swift.
Oh,
I'm going to let you finish.
Yeah.
That same year also, Lil Mama, the rapper, she got blacklisted because she just got up on stage and just, like, infiltrated Jay-Z and Alicia Keys's Empire State of Mind performance.
Did she?
What?
Yes.
Oh my god!
Same. I was like, I need to see this.
And then Beyonce also won the video of the. So even though she didn't win the best female video because Taylor Swift won,
she
won video of the year and gave the moment to Taylor Swift. Sort of thing. But also people say that might have been Taylor Swift's initiation into the Illuminati.
Oh, for crying out loud. People.
Sort
just
of thing.
Stop. People so, are sad.
And I will say, like, I'd kind of miss the fact that the VMAs aren't very controversial anymore. That was the whole point of it, that it was like entertaining. Like,
yeah.
Like, when, like, like, you know, when Madonna kissed Britney, that was a controversial moment.
And she didn't kiss Christina.
She did.
Oh, did she?
No, no, she, but everyone just went on.
But no, because what they did was they shot to Britney. But they were so concerned with Justin Timberlake's reaction, you only got half a second of Christina Aguilera's kiss.
Was like,
And she was pissed off about it too, because she was like, of course you went to the guy.
I kissed Madonna too.
Exactly. Guys, I also sang live and I kissed Madonna.
Yeah.
She was probably the only one up there singing live.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. And so, so paparazzi, this whole, this is what kind of interested me. That's like why I got even more interested in her, because I'm like, this girl has been around for like 2 minutes in the mainstream, and she's obsessed with this whole like idea and monster of fame. Oh, look, her next album's called The Fame Monster. Okay, let's do all the EP, the re-release.
Yeah.
And this is where she brought out a song called Bad Romance.
Oh, yes. Love it. I want your loving, all your love is revenge.
Yeah, you and me could write a bad romance.
Yes.
Now this song was it was number one. Probably one of the biggest songs of her career, to be quite honest. Now this music video was next level. We had these people coming out of these really high tech coffins.
as you do.
She was a slave to this pimp. Sort of thing, like very, very, and but for 2010, like that's what it was all about. In 2009, creating these real obscure music videos that had these abstract meanings. Like, that was the whole thing. Like, this is where, when Gaga was on the scene, we all started wearing spikes off our shoulders and trim and chains and, like, all the, like, the 80s reborn, but on this, like, rock star level sort of thing. And, I definitely had drunk the Kool-Aid by that point. I was, you know, rock out to university like I was about to be in a Lady Gaga music video.
Right. sort of thing.
And, now, Bad Romance. Now, this song is about being in a relationship. And it's not saying, I don't want just like the good parts of you. I want all the bad parts. This is how much I love you.
Yes.
I want like all your like scariness, all your darkness, dysfunction, all the baggage that you have. I love you that much that I'm willing to take this on into our relationship as well and deal with it as much as we can.
Yeah.
That's why it's a bad romance. It's like the toxicity, like everything. So I think also Gaga had a history of boyfriends though. It was very toxic relationships.
Right.
A lot of her earlier boyfriends did not believe that she was going to be like a huge superstar.
Yeah.
Because when she was younger, imagine like, you know, those people that you meet in your life and they've got these delusions of grandeur that they're going to be super ultra famous and you're like, oh, get off your high horse, girl. Yeah. But they actually do get famous and you're like, oh,
like they knew what they were talking about. It's very hard to imagine that sort of level of fame happening.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm. Yeah.
It's really like when you're true. A local, like, you know, especially if you're a local performer and you have these like really like because people ask you, oh, so what's your goal? To be famous. And you think, oh, what a wanker, like sort of thing.
Yeah.
But then but that's actually what they're manifesting and they make it happen. You know, there's definitely people out there like that. And so this music video was kind of inspired by Thriller. And also, just with like the whole creatures, how the little monster thing started and like paws up and all that, because all the choreography was very Thriller based and everything like that.
Yeah.
So it was a huge, huge song. I've seen her perform it like 3 times. It's pretty awesome, actually, I have to say. But the lyrics are really, really deep. As well, really very dark.
They are actually, they're very
and very quite explicit. Like it's because it's an I want song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Like when you talk about musical theater, it's an I want.
It's like
song.
I want your disease. Yeah, yeah.
I want your love and I want your revenge. You and me could write this bad romance together, sort of thing. So Born This Way is my. Oh, sorry, Born This Way. Bad Romance is my second choice. So I'm getting all mixed up already.
Very good.
I know Gaga.
exactly. And also, the Fame Monster was like all the songs, and they're exploring different parts of fame as well. So this was about toxic relationships and how it can affect, you know, your public profile.
Yes.
We talked about Telephone, how it's about rumors and all that kind of stuff. Another song on there called So Happy I Could Die is about like the moment you're in that drug high and you're so happy that you were happy to leave the earth at that point. You don't have to you come back to reality after that escapism. Yeah. So it was very, very interesting, like this whole narrative that she was putting out there, because any rumor that was out there in the world, she didn't deny them.
Mm-hmm.
I talked about the hermaphrodite rumor.
Yes. Well, remember what was the video where it starts and they're showing the jail and she like climbs up on the.
Yeah, that's Telephone.
Is that Telephone?
That's Telephone. Okay,
so
yeah.
I know. And she does the like spreads her legs on the jail cell, but then they blur out because they're like, is she or isn't she?
Exactly. Yeah. And then the security guard goes, told you she didn't have a dick.
That's right.
So I love that they were very, very smart. Like this team that was behind her were so, like, she was in the media conscious all the time. You know, like it was just that, as I said, she was making it exciting.
Yeah.
Like she would bring, like she'd be like, oh, I'm releasing a music video at midnight on Thursday. And we'd be like, I wonder what the meanings are going to be.
Exactly.
The little messages all this kind of stuff. Because also she was a part of the rise of social media. Because you could finally, we talked about this before, how you could finally say hello to these celebrities. You'd be like,
on Twitter and
hi Gaga.
Mm.
And she might respond, you're like, oh!
Yeah.
You know, and creating these loyal followings that would ride or die for these artists.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's really, really, it's very toxic. But like,
it's crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. Especially as an outsider looking at it. And I was definitely part of it. I was a Katie Cat for a long time.
I know. I've seen the videos.
We'll talk about that at a later date. Yes. So I wanted to move on. So we've talked about the Fame with Paparazzi. Mm. We've talked about the Fame Monster with Bad Romance. We know that the next album that we talked about is Born This Way. And I've chosen the title track from there.
Yeah, that's great. Such a great song.
It is such a great song. And forgive me if I get a bit emotional, but like, you know, I for someone that, you know, this was we call this like an LGBTQIA plus anthem. Like this, to talk about being transgender on the radio was just so, I guess, like, taboo at the time. Mm. You know, she's saying, no matter gay, straight or bi, lesbian or transgender life, I'm on the right side, baby. I was born to survive.
Born this way, yes, yes.
And these are empowering lyrics, you know? Mm. Like, before that, the only other empowering song I had ever had in my life was Christina Aguilera's Beautiful, I think, before that. Yeah. So this was like these really, like, this was Dear Diary. Like, no matter what, like, no matter who the heck I am, I'm born this way.
Yeah.
And when you think about the amount of time, and that is, and it's influenced the way that we speak. When people say born this, like, I was born this way, you think of that song story. It's synonymous with identity. Mm-hmm. And the music video is about the, you know, she has, if you remember, they remember the egg, or what they call it, the vessel. Mm-hmm. And she used to come in on red carpets and like that egg.
Yes.
And then would be born out to be this creature that, you know, and the whole point, like, the way that I saw it was, like, when you have identity issues or you feel like you're not like everybody else, you're like an alien that walks on the earth trying to figure out how everyone else lives.
Yeah.
And I just felt that was such a parallel in my own life as well. And so I was really, really, and really, really responding to this like song in a really hectic way. And I'm a part of a cabaret every year called Boy and Girl, and this is our closing number every single time.
Yeah.
And like, the feeling never dies, that the elation never dies that I feel when you're up there with 20 other people screaming the song, the audience is getting up, like, you know, singing it with you, like, there's a real spiritual experience that happens. Also at the end of her Monsterball HBO special, she does it a cappella with her background singers.
Wow.
and it becomes a gospel standard basically. And it's just like, it puts a whole new flip, you know, it really means even more. I actually prefer, you know, I love singing with just piano and vocals. We should get Gracie to just come and bring the piano sometime and have a jam.
Oh my gosh. Sing along.
Yeah, have a little jam. Yeah. Shafology would never be the same.
That could be a special episode for the Patreon.
Yeah, or maybe. Yeah, that's a good idea. Okay. Producer Zane's like, Yeah. Clocking these ideas. Beautiful. No. All right, yeah. So just really, really. And so for anyone out there that, you know, I think we can all, who were real Gaga fans at the time when we first heard this song in our lives, I think we were never the same again.
Mm.
You know, and we'll not talk about sexuality and genders, we'll talk about like racial stuff as well.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
You know, that doesn't matter. Like, you know, I'm on the right side,
beige,
Chola or Orient Maid,
yeah.
Which is like such a, like, that's real naff, but it worked.
It worked.
Sort of thing. So it's really, really cool. And just her message of acceptance, not just tolerance, has always been at the forefront.
Yeah.
Because I think, she, you know, I think herself has always felt a bit of an alien herself, you know, pre fame, during fame, because she was getting all this fame, but the industry still weren't really embracing her. She was really being driven by her fans.
Yeah.
And they were the ones that were putting her into this like superstar status, which is really, really cool.
Yeah. And it's beautiful when an artist does that, when an artist gives back and writes something for the fans, which totally was, right? It's just, and it's like for so many of my friends in the whole spectrum of gender rainbow and queer world, it's so rare that you feel heard, you feel represented in mainstream media. It's just so rare, and it's lovely.
It'll usually be in vogue for a minute, and then it's like back in the closet again.
Yeah, well, that's right. sort of that's right. It becomes you're treated like an object.
Yes.
Like you're what's in.
Exactly.
Just for this moment.
Absolutely.
You know? Yeah.
And so I'm very, very glad, you know, to be at 31, and I'm glad this song exists still in the world. You know, it's very, very cool.
It's amazing.
We then move on to I guess the controversial album, the art pop.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Art pop.
Well, art pop.
Very inspired by like Andy Warhol and the theatricality of, you know, what happens after fame. Like, you know, when you're the biggest superstar on the earth, what does life look like now?
Apparently, you think you can do whatever you want and everybody's going to love it.
Yeah, exactly. One of the songs on the album is called Do What You Want.
Yeah.
And so between the Born This Way and the Art Pop album, this is when she had that huge hip injury and she had to cancel the rest of her Born This Way ball tour. And this injury, there's a document on Netflix, it's called 5'2".
Yeah, I watched that.
Yes, and her hip injury that basically it cripples her entire body is related to trauma that she's had.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's a PTSD, it's a trauma response.
Yeah.
So she she's a survivor, she says, of like sexual assault, sexual abuse, the industry.
Mm.
And so when she feels triggered by it, her body actually cripples because it's trying to like cope with all that trauma.
Mm.
And so she could be good for 3 months and then all of a sudden she can't like walk for a month. Like it's really, really, like it's really sad. Like it's really, really, you know, I would hate to have that in my own life, you know?
Mm. Yeah.
And so this song, so we're talking about, so Art Pop was all about like, you know, as I said, the what happens after fame. And so this song, I've chosen Applause. I bloody love this song so much.
Yeah, this is a good song.
The vocal is huge. If I was like to put it on the Sabi scale of singability, like, I'm giving it like at least a 9. Like, it's huge. Yeah, it's a huge, high. It's a big song.
Yeah.
And you know, the whole hook is I live for the applause, applause. Are we gonna get like off the air like for copyright if I sing that?
No,
we're all good. So I can sing whatever
sing
I want.
You can sing the whole song. Sing yes. It. It's a cover.
Give me the thing that I love. I turn the lights on. Like, it's all about feeding this monster or that what this monster. Mm. You know, this beast that wants your applause. Like Tinkerbell. Like Tinkerbell will die if you don't applaud for her.
Yes,
that's the whole thing.
Yeah.
And so I really love the music video. I thought it was so so cool, but it was not connecting on a general public level. I suppose also because Born This Way was so huge, like and Fame Monster was so huge, like, you know, what do you do after that as well? Like, I think that just happened. I think it's a natural I think it's a chemical reaction personally.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, and people, I mean, I was about to say people can be awful, which they can be, they can also be really wonderful.
Yes, they can. Absolutely. And I think it was just her turn. Every female in the industry has their "we're going to hate on you" moment.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and she was she'd risen so high.
Yeah,
I feel like people.
It's
were
probably
ready to be
fan
like, okay.
fatigue as well. You know,
yeah,
like
that's
we've
true.
We've had so much for so long, and you just need a break after a while.
Absolutely, and like Christina Aguilera had it with Bionic.
Katy
Perry's had it with her Witness album, and we're hoping that doesn't keep on continuing to the next album. Britney Spears has had it. Rihanna always slays.
I think Whitney had it as well.
Mariah's had it as well. Glitter. Like everyone has their that one album that just doesn't resonate as hard.
But if
I was to ever perform this song, I would want to do it like with outfit changes and everything like she does. Her VMAs performance is really, really epic of this as well. So she opens the VMAs with this song. YouTube at one time, it's just high energy. Like it doesn't stop. It just, you're kind of like, your heart's like, kind of like,
yes.
What's she going to do next? Beautiful. So that's our part. And then I've now moved on. So I've skipped.
Did you skip the jazz album?
I skipped the jazz album. I mean, I love. Okay. Just. I'll do that on honorable mentions. And then the last song on Chromatica, because it's the recent Gaga album.
Yep.
Her first single off that was called Stupid Love. And I bloody love that song too. And I love it because it's been a while since we've heard her do like a upbeat, I mean, like, you know, I just want your stupid love, like, you know, let's just do this together, like really uplifting. It's been a while because all the other music has been quite like melancholic and, you know, especially with A Star Is Born, where it's all about mental health and depression and, you know, substance abuse. It's good to see you happy again, girl. It's all good.
Shake it
really,
off.
Really, really great. The whole music video was shot on an iPhone 11
nice.
Pro. Yes.
All right. I'm going to have to check that out.
Yes. Because you can film at 4K to 120 frames per second in that on that phone. Yes.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you, Mr. Apple.
Yeah. Allegedly. And with that. And yeah, and so I just love that it's celebratory. It also came out right when so in Brisbane we have like Big Gay Day. It came around Mardi Gras time as well. So obviously the LGBT community were just like, yes, new Gaga music. Start sashaying down the runway sort of thing.
Exactly.
Yeah, I had friends that hosted a Chromatica theme party for the release.
I know exactly what friends are talking about, girl. I know who they are. When this album dropped, like I wasn't working that day, so I had like I was like, I need to clear my schedule.
I'm just having a heavy day.
Yeah, exactly. I'm gonna spend an hour just listening to this album from start to finish with Chromatica. Really, really enjoyed it. Another dance record. I think I love when she does dance records. I think she's it's just a specialty of her. She gets it.
Yeah, sort of thing. Yeah.
I've got a couple of honorable mentions.
Oh, of course, of course.
When I say a couple, you know, six. Also from so if we go back to the Born This Way album, Edge of Glory. Love that song.
Yes, that's a great song. Actually.
Big, big vocal as well. Did you see the Edge of Glory challenge where like people would go on TikTok and try and sing the edge, and you had to try and like.
It's not actually that hard, but okay.
We're not all Asabi. Oh, okay.
I'm like, that was a challenge, really.
Also, okay. Speechless, which is about her tough relationship with her father that's dying, or not dying, but he has chronic illness. Also, moving on to art pop, Venus. Is a great song. Take me to your planet. Take me to your planet. Also on Joanne, A Million Reasons. Really, really big song. Love that. Very country. you know, very, very she performed on the Super Bowl. It's actually her third most high stream song on Spotify.
Wow.
Even though it didn't chart high in the top 10 until nearly a year later because it was the Super Bowl, you know, gave
boosted
it the metrics.
Yeah, of course, of course.
And then she had a little movie called A Star Is Born, remake number 4, I believe it is, because there was three versions prior. So the one that was done prior was the Barbra Streisand one. Then I think before that was Judy Garland. And then before that was it was just a play. It had no music and it was just a film. And so Shallow obviously was a big song at the time, but there was, now this is what I, now at the end of the movie she sings a song called I'll Never Love Again, and I've said this before, it was her Whitney Houston bodyguard moment. Someone had passed away, I'm sorry, but you know, at the end of the movie she becomes a star. Spoiler.
Of course. That's,
I mean, the film's called A Star Is Born.
Exactly.
And she kind of does like this like requiem kind of song, similar to I Will Always Love You in that way. And yeah, but like it was one of those things where like the general public were again like, oh,
she can sing. Yeah.
Oh, I love her again.
Yeah.
sort of thing. Sometimes it takes a, and was actually, and as I said in my intro, it was her first big feature film. She had done other acting. She won, like she was in American Horror Stories, The Countess. Won a Golden Globe for that performance.
Right.
Amazing. That's all my choice. Oh, and then also in Chromatica, just for all the queers out there, Chromatica 2 into 911, best transition ever. And that's everything.
Oh my God, Josh, amazing. That was amazing. So good.
Thank you.
Yes. All right. And everyone, we're going to take a short break and then we'll be back with our favorite segment of the week.
Yeah.
Thank you, sponsored ad. So, with that, we've obviously talked about one lady all night, the Gaga of Lady, the Lady of Gaga, Stephanie Germanotta. And so we've obviously had some great choices. I can't wait to bop out to this playlist. I'm sure you're excited as well. Now we're up to, it's mine and Asabi's definitely favorite section of the week. And that is...
It's a flop.
All right. So now we have chosen some great songs that we love by Lady Gaga. We're also going to choose one song that we're like, girl.
Not feeling it.
We think you might have missed the mark here, girl. Mm. All right.
Yeah. And I will say Josh looked at me earlier and said, girl, I am tired of you picking my favorites as your flop.
Yeah. So I changed my song on last minute. We're going to start with, we'll start with Asabi then.
Okay.
Asabi, what is your flop? So you gave us some great choices.
Yes. And in all honesty, it's really when you like an artist, and I'm not saying I'm like the biggest Lady Gaga fan.
Oh, you're such a monster.
Right. It is so difficult to find a true flop. So I just found a song that, you know, I just don't feel it with that song. And it's one, like if I hear it on, I want to change the station or I want to turn it off. Alejandro.
I'm so sorry, little monsters.
Alejandro,
I know. I'm sorry.
Whatever it is. I don't even know.
Don't call my name. Don't call my name.
Alejandro. Yeah.
The end of this music goes exactly the same as Vogue. Alejandro.
Yeah, that's right. So it's just one of those songs that, you know, if it comes on, okay, it comes on, but it's not.
Look, I don't control the airwaves.
Right, you know.
I'm going to write a letter.
I can turn it off. All right, turn it off. But Black Karen, thank you. Don't get it twisted.
Oh, my Lord.
So that is my flop. Thank you.
All right, well, thank you so much for your choice, Asabi.
You're welcome.
I'm sorry, little monsters out there. All right, next. So, Gracie, I'm sure it was so difficult for you to find.
I think she's got a whole album.
To be honest, actually was quite difficult to find a flop because in the same feeling that Asabi just shared, there's a huge body of work that she has, and she's got a big progression of where her music has gone.
Yes,
but because I don't feel.
I don't know how that happened. I didn't even have my. That's the end of the show. Goodbye, everybody.
Well, that's us.
Oh,
see you next
honestly,
week.
I didn't even. I had, sorry.
I know you were just shaking me with rage at the idea that I would pick a flop.
Move your hand a little to the right. Because, I can see how that happened.
Oh my gosh. So what is your flop?
My flop is Anything Goes with Tony Bennett. I would honestly flop that entire album.
Thank you.
But yeah, I just picked one of the tracks that I was like, that's the hammiest one, I reckon. Right. Well, close to it.
That song is just...
I reckon their arrangement or her arrangement of Bang Bang on that, it's the iTunes extra, is the only one that I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing.
That's actually cool.
Yeah, I'll send it to you.
Okay, yeah. I'll have a listen. So,
Cheek to... No, was it Anything Goes?
Yeah, from Cheek to Cheek, the album.
Cole Porter. Yeah, all right. Well, I also have a flop. You wouldn't believe it.
Oh God, what is it?
Now, this is from the Joanne album. The song is called Perfect Illusion. This was the lead single from Joanne.
Oh.
And it was not good. Like, I remember listening to it going, I thought it was a demo. I remember the Twitter fandom was like, oh, I love the key change. I was like, the key change did nothing for the song. And the whole hook just goes, it wasn't love, it wasn't love, it was a perfect illusion. And that's through the whole song.
That sounds annoying.
Okay. Yeah, the hook.
filler track.
Yeah, like she's definitely done better. So this is just saying, like, Gaga, you're so bloody talented. But this was just like, you know, a moment. Like,
you're just not feeling
I'm sure
it.
The fans love it because they're fans and they're delusional about you. But like me as like, you know, as a music connoisseur, a musicologist, if you will, it just, yeah, you've done better things in your life. All right? Beautiful. All right, so that's my flop.
Love it.
Which also concludes our episode 14.
It does.
Well, thank you for sticking around and listening to all our choices and to Josh's overindulgence about Lady Gaga as well. To all my Gaga fan friends, I'm sure you're going to love the beginning and keep on playing it back and forth on loop. It'll be your ringtone. So in the lab, we've had Asabi Goodman.
Hey.
We've had Gracie Mack.
Thank you.
My name's Josh DeVetta. And don't forget, you can always reach out to us on social media. We are Chefology Podcast on Facebook and Instagram. Also, feel free to email us at chefologypodcast@gmail.com. We're going to sign up for this episode. Thanks for coming into the lab, and we'll see you next week.
Bye. Bye. Bye.